We're going to talk about childhood obesity with a middle school counselor, advisor, and teacher, Clara Bingham. And the idea is to discuss this from the standpoint of what parents and teachers can do together. Ms. Bingham, thanks for joining us on our program here at this kind of late notice. But we saw the story here on ABC about more sleep, less TV, fends off child obesity. Did you see that? Are you there, ma'am?
Yes, I'm right here.
All right. Did you hear me?
I'm sorry, Phil. I did not. No.
All right. My question was this study from ABC, more sleep, less TV, fends off child obesity.
We feel that there is a great many, are a great many reasons for a child being overweight. We do recognize that those still and should be recognized as a health risk to the child. And the message is not getting through. We've tried, but the primary reason for childhood obesity is the parental influence, and that is in terms of nutrition. The parents are not getting the message. Obesity in children is at an all-time epidemic proportion. It affects their health. It affects their self-esteem. And parents who send an overweight child to school, who allow that child to go into a school, you know, with all of that fat and so forth, are letting their children in for it. And that really is where we start. Television, I think, is a contributing factor. I also think that nutrition at the school can be a contributing factor if the school is not mindful of the nutritional content of the food they're serving the children. But parents...
All right, well, but Kevin Hauser is a 12-year-old 7th grade student at Joyful Union Middle School where you teach. His mother appealed to the school about some ill treatment of her son. Now, this is what we're talking about when we say self-esteem, right?
That is correct. Kevin is a good example. He's overweight. He's a boy who stands around 5 foot, 7 inches tall. His weight exceeds 200 pounds. I saw him, and just to give you an example of what I'm talking about, I saw Kevin coming on campus. I saw him, I was in the teacher's lounge grading some papers, and I saw Kevin walking onto the school. His mother had dropped him off. And I remember I instinctively sort of said to myself, man, boy, is he asking for it. So I finished the last of the papers that I was grading, and I went out to where the children were putting books into their lockers.
Now, did you say something to him?
Yes, I did. What we will do is deal with a child from two levels, nutrition and image. And I walked over to a tree that was standing in a grass area near the lockers so that he could not see me. And I said as loudly as I could, but not to attract attention to myself, I believe I said, hey, Globe Boy, or Bacon Boy, or something like that.
But that hurt the boy's feelings, okay?
Now, let me tell you, though, Phil, as a teacher, what this does. Yes, it does, but it gets the parents to act. Now Kevin doesn't know who said this to him. He thought one of the students said it. He complained. His mother called the school.
Did you speak to her?
Yes, I did. And I told her, I said I was glad to talk with her, because it gave me the opportunity to let her know that this is a problem, not just for Kevin at the school, but also at home. And the facts are these. I said to Rose Hunter, who's Kevin's mother, I said, when you send an obese child to school, you are guilty of cruelty to that child, because you are sending your child, you send the child off looking like that, and she knows that the minute he sets foot on campus, man, he's going to get it, you know.
And well, you're saying he's going to get it. You mean the ridicule?
Well, but again, the parent that sends an obese child to school is begging for it. And I wonder if they know that on behalf of their child, they are begging for the abuse. And I think if more parents knew that, and that's where I think we have missed the boat, and that's where I think we can also begin to make up for lost time.
All right, Clara Bingham joins us on childhood obesity in the schools. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You're saying verbally abusing a child somehow is going to help him lose weight.
No, I'm saying it's going to get through to the parents. Right now, I have spoken to...
Well, you're going to have the child go home and say, I got ridiculed at school for being fat.
And that immediately puts it back on a parent who has so little concern for their child. feeding them the food. The reason why we have fat children, Phil, basically are the parents. It's not television. It's not anything other than parent. It's not one of the things I love to hear from these parents. And Kevin's mother said this too. She said he has a gland problem. It's glandular. And I said to her, do you think I was born yesterday? Do you think I just was literally birthed out yesterday and came to school soaking wet in amnio fluid? I am a grown woman. And when you say to me, when you look me in the face and you say, my child looks for all the world like some bacon child, and you say that it's because you got a gland problem, you're basically looking me in the face and calling me a stupid you-know-what. I don't like that. I don't know a lot of teachers that do. You send a child out to school knowing full well that child is three-quarters butterfat, and he's begging for it. I think.
All right, so you're laying it directly into the parent's lap. There is no absolute.
Well, Phil, yes, for the most part, I don't see.
There's no contributing factor. There's no this thing about television.
Well, the reason why the child is watching television is because the parents are allowing it. The reason why the child is laying around all day long are the parents are allowing it. And I'm sure most parents think that their child is happier when he's eating. They should be on campus when these words are said.
Yeah, but you're the one that called him Globe Boy. You stood behind a tree so he couldn't see you.
But he thought the students did it.
All right, but why not just, I mean, why be...
A lot of times, Phil, the students are filled with so many mixed messages. A lot of times, this is difficult for you to understand, perhaps, but I don't know if you know about priming a carburetor. You know, you put a little bit of gasoline and you need to prime the carburetor. In much the same way, we need to prime the students. And when I said Globe Boy, when I said Here Come Bacon Boy, and this kind of thing, it primed the carburetor, got the other students going. And that's
what... Although, okay, but what you're doing is you're encouraging the other kids to abuse this child.
I am encouraging the other children to see before them a child whose parents have so little love for him that they send him off three-quarter butterfat, like a bucket of buttermilk. And for me, that is a very sad thing.
All right, but if the parents don't love the kid and they feed him too much and he is fat and they send him to school knowing that he could very well be ridiculed for this, why do you need to instigate it? Why do you...
As I said, Phil, we need to get it going because the sooner the child goes home crying about being abused, the quicker the parent will confront this issue with the school and the sooner I can sit down in a classroom at a parent-teacher conference and say to that parent, yeah. See, this is what happens when you feed your child all of that slop that you pull out of that refrigerator.
I can't believe you talk to the parents directly like this.
Oh, I do, Phil. It really, it's part of our parent-teacher coordinator seminars that we have every summer. It's part of the parent-teacher retreats that we have.
I mean, you're looking at these parents and you're saying you're feeding your kid slop.
I'm saying, take a look at that boy. I said to Rose Hauser, I said, look at your son. And I said, oh, look at Twinkie Boy. I called him Twinkie Boy. I said, look at the size of that. And she shook my hand and realized that it had all been a big misunderstanding.
So you were able to come to a meeting with this mother?
Absolutely, yes. What I do is I straighten out these parents. I straighten them out by saying to them, you're the one that made this child fat and begging for abuse. You're the one that made that child look like Grimm from McDonald's, you know. You. And they walk out of there very, very ashamed. If I can confront more parents, I think we can get the message out.
1-800-449-8686. This is a teacher that will call a kid Globe Boy, Bacon Boy, Fat Boy, so that he thinks a student said it, and then she knows he's going to go home and complain to the parents, and the parent comes in, and then she says, quote, she can confront the parent straight on for feeding the child the way they do, and basically letting that child go off to school fat and ready for abuse. Do parents who send an overweight child off to school do it knowing that their child is going to be abused? Are they culpable in that abuse? is it child cruelty? That's what we're talking with Clara Bingham, a middle school teacher from Joyful Union Congregation, about this hour, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Why my guest, Clara Bingham, a middle school teacher, calls it child abuse is because parents that have overweight children are feeding them knowing that the children are very liable going to be taking a great deal of abuse, a great deal of peer abuse, and so on and so forth. But you contribute to it. You have...
No, I do not contribute to anything. I am trying to bring home to the parent.
No, but you're there, you know, you walked up to this little Hauser boy and called him Bacon Boy or something like that.
Because I wanted to get that mother in and talk to her directly. And
why not call her up and say, I'd like to talk to you about Kevin's weight?
They get very defensive. When you call parents up and you say, you know, you've got a child here at our school who is very fat and is very tough for a lot of people to look at, they get very defensive. And they say, it's none of your business and this and that. And I can say that the child is being verbally abused. But when the child goes home and says, I just got called Globe Boy or Fat Boy or Bacon Child or Chili Child, then that has an effect that the parent readily sees and is going to reach out and contact us.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I imagine this is a place that hits close to home for a lot of parents.
I don't think there are many parents very proud of it, Phil. I'd be surprised if you have very many parents who are going to admit their children are obese, because they know.
You think they know that they're kind of abusing their child?
I think on a level they do, yes. That's why we have to provoke action from them.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Karen, go ahead.
Yes, I think she needs to retire, go to the house. She is not there for weight control. We're there to teach the child.
I'm there to keep that child in a position to learn, and when he's getting abused by other children because you send him their fat.
Then it's your job to help build the self-esteem.
No, it's not my job.
You are the parent.
You're the parent.
I think the parent
needs to No, I think you should have your child taken
you.
From you. Your child should be taken from you if you have an overweight child
and
you blame someone else for it. You're the one feeding that child.
Your job is not to maintain the weight of children in school.
No, yours is.
Your job... How many years have you taught?
Yours is. Well, how many years have you been a parent? Let's ask that.
My 24 years.
Because you've got a big fat kid now out there lumbering through the world, it's everybody else's problem, is that it? It's everyone else's problem.
I don't know.
You've got a big fat blob of a kid lumbering and waddling through the world, and that's someone else's problem, isn't it?
My children are not overweight, and neither am I.
But when they were.
It's not your job as a teacher.
I know my job. You don't know your job as a mother.
You should lose your job. In fact, in the state of Texas,
fortunately,
you will not be able to keep your job.
Ma'am, I doubt very seriously if you know the laws of the state of Texas. I really do.
Oh, I bet I do.
I don't think you do. I really don't.
You should be fired from your job.
And the word, honey, the word is fired, not farred.
I said fired.
No, you said farred.
I said fired.
Yeah, right there. Did you hear that?
She has a Texas accent. She has a Texas accent.
All right, but
yes,
the word is fired, not farred. And this is what I'm talking about. I'm trying to teach children so they don't come out of Texas sounding for all the world like mountain trash. And the other thing that's important...
Well, there's no need to insult... There's no need to insult people.
Well, I'm simply saying that when a parent sends a child out of the world fat, that parent is guilty of...
Well, would you hold on for a minute, both of you ladies, and not talk over each other?
Well, Phil, I'm the educated one. This is the woman calling in with the fat kid.
What kind of education do you have?
What kind of education do you have?
Well,
to tell me what my job is.
You were
I'm a teacher. I have a teaching credential, and I see kids waddling through this school all the time.
I see a lot of children that are obese, but it is still not
our job. Yeah, all you got to do is open their bedroom door.
To stand behind a tree and call them Bacon Boy or whatever else. Our job is to
have? What choice do I have when you send them onto the campus looking like that?
I don't send mine onto a campus and never have. But my job is to target those children who are verbally abused and educate the rest of the children who are not obese that they are okay.
Are you a teacher?
Yes, ma'am, of 19 years. Are you?
Yes, I am. And I will tell you.
How many years?
I do my job. I don't know what you're doing.
How many years?
Other than sitting in the lounge and having another Pall Mall.
How many years?
I'm not answering your questions, girl.
Must not be
I'm
hearing
any. I'm the guest. You're a caller who called in to talk to me, wasting your money on the phone call. But I'll tell you this much. I see some fat tub of guts waddling onto my campus. Man, he's asking for it.
Well, you're saying he's asking for it.
This lady laughs because it's a nervous laugh coming from ignorance.
No, it is not a nervous laugh.
A very nervous laugh. Listen to her. Say, oh, no,
I'm
it's not
thinking,
a nervous laugh. It's not a nervous laugh.
You're not teaching in Texas.
Very,
I can tell that.
You're a very nervous woman.
You
I
cannot
think you need, teach. I think you need nerve tonic.
Will you come on with this?
How many chins does your kid have? Seriously. How many chins did your child have?
How many chins do my
yeah.
children?
Are you thinking about it? Like maybe 6 or 7?
My child is 5'9" and weighs 125 pounds.
225 pounds.
My other child is 6'2" uh-huh. and weighs 165. Okay. My guess is you're the one that's obese.
Now, between the two of them, how many pounds of fat did they lose?
My two children,
probably
I have never had a pound of fat. But this is not about that.
400 pounds.
Your job is you're a teacher.
I am a teacher.
To be
and I'm
a teacher
in the state of California, not out there in mountain trash town.
Oh, darling,
all right, okay. All right, look at. You know what?
Mr. Henry, don't cut me.
You lunatics. You know, the whole thing is...
Phil, she said that her kid wheezes.
She did not say her kid wheezes.
I heard her say that when that child was growing up, the kid would wheeze after coming up some steps.
Here is Kyle. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, I was just wanting to comment on
He's
this.
A wheezer.
Because, you know, this woman has a good point in that parents should take responsibility for their kids' weight and health, but her method of going about it is totally idiotic.
Well, then you agree with me.
No, I agree with your point. I don't agree with your actions, though.
But the point is the parents are to blame.
Well, of course the parents are to blame.
Well, that last lady I talked to claims she's a teacher. She had two children that she had to cut 400 pounds of fat off of.
Okay.
All right,
that's not my point, though. My point is that you belittling them, you're lowering yourself to the level of like a 10-year-old, and you're causing more harm than good. And you also said earlier, why don't you just call the parent and talk to them? You said, well, they're too defensive
yes,
about
they do.
That.
They get very defensive about
that. Well, I'm guessing they're going to be pretty defensive about you calling them a butterball, too.
They didn't know that I called it. See, what I do is I...
Well, you'll hide behind a tree?
Yes.
So the kids...
I mean, how mature is that? You're a teacher, you're hiding behind a tree calling a 10-year-old kid a butterball?
Sir, the
what
point...
What is wrong with you
no,
that you're
on.
Doing that?
No, hold on a minute. The point is that the child then goes home to his parent, says that he got ridiculed. The parent calls for me to intercede, and that's
okay,
what I
and
can
you,
say.
And you
and
can guarantee.
And she won't think that I'm part of the problem.
You can guarantee that every time a child's going to go home and talk to his parent about it, or maybe sometimes they'll keep it inside and it'll fester. You're creating emotional problems
well, hold on.
In
we know
kids rather than trying to come up with a solution.
No, but we know if they've kept it inside within a week, because generally if they keep something like that inside, they do start, you know, they'll start hitting the Twinkies and that kind of thing, and they start to balloon out. And I can tell you within a week of a kid being called Globe Boy or three-quarter butterfat or something like that, if he begins to balloon out, we know he's internalized it, and then we will intercede.
Yeah, but look at the time you've wasted.
And you're also telling me the kid is so obese. You're going to honestly tell me that an obese kid, you're going to notice that big a difference in a week's period of time?
Oh, these children, sir, it is tragic. He is with Fox Studios. And
all right, but his father has access to sound effects or something that you've used, right?
Well, I don't know what the purpose of your comment is. I'm trying...
Have you used some kind of a sound effects tape or record to ridicule the children? I'm just curious.
You know something? I find this to be off the point. We are talking about parents that have neglected their children to the point that they come on our campus... coated in fat, and they take abuse from the children, and the parents don't seem to care. They want to blame us for it.
All right, but I mean, when Kevin Hauser or other children that are overweight, how Kevin reported his mother heard a laugh track?
We have, and I think I gave it to, I sent it on an MPH radio engineer.
Do you have that, Mark? All right. So when he walks on campus, this is what he hears. Is that right?
Well, I don't know if that's the tape or not, but we have played... from the administration office and from the detention office, we have all kinds of announcements that happen in the morning. We are constantly telling the children what day it is, which day, you know, which color sweater they're wearing on this day, whether it's a hot lunch day or not, whether it's a day where we're going to be doing our cave sales, which is where we sell our books. When we see a child where desperate intercession is needed, I can either go up behind a tree and say, here comes Globe Boy. In fact, we've got a here comes Globe Boy, look around, here comes Globe Boy, and he's round, you know. And then Martha Keller, who works in our office, I'll cue her.
I got to tell you, that's got to hurt like hell for a little boy to hear that.
Phil, I'll tell you what hurts. What hurts is for that little boy to know every time his mother sticks a stack of pancakes in front of him, she's saying, here, good morning, I hate you. I hate you because I'm going to feed you these pancakes dripping in melted butter with maple syrup straight out of the tree, and then I'm going to send you off to school so the children can laugh at you. I think that hurts a lot more.
I don't think any mother says she's hating her child when she gives the child flapjacks.
Phil, maybe she's not intending to say that, but really that's the word. That's what she's saying. Every time she puts a plate of food in front of that child, she says, hello, how are you? I hate you. Yeah, and she might as well just throw this in. And you know something, Phil? I don't appreciate what that looks
like. Well, that Rose Hunter said that. Did you say to her, you're going to have to butter the doors in your house?
I don't recall.
You said to that woman, if the boy gets any bigger, you're going to have to butter the doors in your house.
I might have said something like that, yes. I'm trying to wake these parents up.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Raquel, go ahead.
Hi. I would just like to tell your guest on the show that as a child growing up, I was overweight. And when people made fun of me, I never turned to my mother and let her know what was going on. I turned to food for more comfort instead. So
right.
What you're doing, it's not working. That's just going to make the poor child want to eat more.
It is working, because what we're doing now is we're monitoring that child for a week. And if the child, I'm sure in your case, when you got insulted and you kept it inside, you started to blimp out a little bit within, say, 7 to 10 days.
Not blimp out. I mean, I just ate like I always did. I would ask for more food.
Right.
I would ask for more sweets. My parents indulged me. They never thought a problem was going on. They just thought I had a big appetite. They just thought I was
Well, did they think it was natural for a girl to be 800 pounds?
I wasn't 800 pounds.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Well, how much did you weigh? Did your parents pay attention to your weight?
They did. My mom even took me to the doctors to find out maybe I had an overactive thyroid.
Okay, now let me ask something, Raquel. And it's a beautiful name, by the way.
Thank you.
You're telling me that your mother would stick plate after plate of flapjacks in front of you and then take you to the doctor and ask him why you were getting fat?
Oh, God. My mother would just
Can we not play the laugh track anymore, please? I'm sorry, Raquel, but can we not play the laugh track?
My mother was a home woman. She stayed at home.
She's
took care of his kids.
I'm sorry, you said she was a homemaker?
A homemaker. She cooked us all our meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. She took care of us. She gave us our vegetables. She gave us our meat. She gave us our cereal, whatever. We weren't people to be eating out or having lots of sweets. But
well,
if we asked for more food, she gave it to us. She wasn't going to keep it.
But what I'm saying is the woman's got eyes in her head. She can see her lovely daughter,
who
she gave a lovely name to, and she can see the child turning into a human ball.
She had two thin girls and the chunky girl. I was just known as the big bone girl.
Well, I mean,
the doctor said, she could stand to lose some weight, but she's healthy. She's okay. It'll all come off when she grows up. That's what the doctor said.
I'm telling you right now, those are blind parents that were blind to your pain, didn't see the pain that you were living in. Every day you'd go to school and you'd hear this as you waddled on campus. And it would have been better. It would have been better if you'd had if Miss Bingham had been there for you, I would have said something like, hey, butter girl, hey, you know, and then you'd get all upset. And then I would monitor.
Oh, I've had worse. To me, the name-calling wasn't as bad as that. I had boys pretend they were in an earthquake area when I walked down the aisle of where my desk was.
Right.
I mean, I've had it pretty bad.
Exactly.
But see, at least I was a tough cookie. it didn't get to me like it did.
What do you mean it didn't get to you? You said that you packed on more weight after you heard it.
Yeah,
you
because I would eat more. I would eat
exactly.
More.
Now, you're a child of mine. The last thing I'm going to do is get the box of dehydrated buttered mashed potatoes like your mother did.
She never made dehydrated potatoes.
Well, you told me
her
she did.
Home cooking, no, her home cooking was good. She cooked good food for us. It
when,
wasn't
when,
that
when you would walk down the hall, did you ever hear this? That kind of thing? Because I heard that as a kid.
Oh, what's that sound?
Well, they would make it sound like, you know, big giant steps were cracking the pavement, you know. That
no.
kind of
okay. I mean, them calling, or they would say, look at the hippo run, or here comes the hippo
bird. I'd love to. I'd love
and
to get your mother's.
Funnier, is when I saw pictures of me when I was younger, I wasn't even really that fat.
I
mean,
would love
began to lose some weight, but I wasn't that bad. But it did hurt, the name calling. But it doesn't work because I never told my mother.
I mean, what do you mean it doesn't? What do you mean it wasn't that bad, but it did hurt? You are being—you're a walking contradiction, girlfriend.
No, no. It
Look,
hurt me.
Would it have helped if you'd have heard?
After so long of it being done to me, it didn't bother me anymore. That's what I'm trying to get
I'd love to get your mother's phone number and call her up. And what's your mother's first name?
My mother's first name is Elisa.
And say, what a beautiful name. And I would say, Elisa, darling. Just what time did you get out of bed this morning that you didn't see your daughter turning into a freaking cannonball?
What I'm trying to say is it took care of itself on its own eventually. Because all it did to me when I was younger, in junior high school, let's say, I just ate more and more and got fatter.
Yeah, well,
when I got into high school, I was already tired of hearing all the names. Oh, yeah, big fun, make fun of me, whatever. And I alone started to lose the weight because, hey, I saw, you know, I started getting attracted to boys, and I wanted to look good. And on my own,
Well, see, here's one of the reasons why it starts to lose, the world ran out of food.
Okay, what's with the moo?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. How does that feel when I do that? I want to know, Raquel.
Now, as an adult, it doesn't bug me. If I was, you know, in middle school, it would have probably worked. Yeah.
All right. When you hear this, do you get hungry? Are you a little bit of bacon sandwich, maybe?
No. Well, see, now I'm a trim adult. Now I keep myself.
Yeah, but when you hear this, don't you want to have to slap a couple of pieces of bacon on some wheat toast? Maybe have a little mayonnaise.
I don't eat ham. I don't eat pork products.
That's not ham. It's bacon.
It's from
it's
a pig.
Still part of the pig.
It's a pig.
I don't understand.
What? Are you nuts? Ham, bacon. It's all a pig.
I'm talking about this. Ain't that what that is?
That's a bacon.
Bacon comes from a pig, not a cow.
Well, I'm not familiar. I don't know.
Raquel, you were a great caller. Thank you.
Well, I'm not done with her. I want to find out the woman that raised this child and turned her into a beast.
She's fine now.
I'm not a beast. I'm actually a very beautiful girl.
I bet you are, Raquel.
I turned out very well.
Thank you, hon.
I just hope they fire you from your job.
Thank you very much.
You thanked her for saying that?
Look, I just wanted to be very kind to the lady.
I'm just wondering if she's hungry. Because I'm opening up some soup.
Just turn off the can opener. Let's go over to Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
But before I give my point, I want to make a point that I don't have a dog in this fight. Because when I went through school, I weighed 140 pounds and I was 5'10". And so, but I want to say one thing to this lady is that, you know what? It doesn't matter if these kids are fat or not. It is not your job to police those parents or those kids.
Mike, can you hang on?
Mike,
hang on.
Them.
Hang on,
yes?
Mike. We're going to take a break and I'll come right back to you.
I want to respond to him, okay, by saying this.
Will you turn off your cow sound effects, please? This is humiliation. Hold on, Mike. We'll be right with you. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I just said that it's not her to police these parents, and that's what she's doing.
Well, is this the gentleman I was speaking with?
Yeah.
Sir, you don't understand. There are a million parents and more in this country that don't care, are not taking care of their children. What do you expect the schools to do? Not to intercede on behalf of these children? If we don't,
it's
we're criticized.
Their job
if
to
we
intercede.
Don't, we
it
are criticized. If we do,
job.
And then what happens to that child? You mean that child is just left without
That's
anyone?
Not your problem to
what,
solve.
Whose problem is it? I'm curious. Do you have an answer for that question?
Sorry, what was the question?
Whose problem is it?
It's not yours.
Whose problem is it?
That's
you don't have an answer.
The
and the reason
I
why
don't
you don't have an
it's
answer
a case-by-case thing,
you don't have children.
It doesn't matter because it's not your problem. It is
well,
not
I've made
your
it,
job.
I've made it my job, whether you like it or not.
Yeah,
and
well,
if you send a fat kid onto my school,
you don't have a right to do that.
Well, you can say it, and you can think it, and you can jump up and down and hold your breath. But when I see some tub of guts come on my campus, what do you think about that?
I think that if I encountered such an ignorant pig do such a thing to
a
little kids one way or the other,
well, you're the one feeding
I would
him.
Yank them out, and I would either homeschool them or send them to private.
First of all,
that's
sir,
what I would
sir,
do because it
home,
is not your job. I mean, if I
for,
could,
to homeschool
I would get
a child,
fired.
To homeschool a child, you have to know something other than it's not your job. That's number one. Number two. When you thank you.
Will you knock it off with a canned laughter? Go ahead, Mike.
I just think this
was
man,
listening to her.
This man really doesn't. The man doesn't have an answer. Let me listen to this. Did you hear that?
It sounds to me like a little child having fun.
No, that's the sound of a child eating. You feed
what,
the child.
The child I'm referring
you,
to is
you. You feed the child till he turns into a human blimp, and then you send him sailing on over to the school, where he explodes like the Hindenburg.
If I hear that laugh one more time, I'm hanging up on you, Miss Bingham.
You know, I'm trying to make
you.
A point here, and this man is. That he
it is. It's
he doesn't
not
have
your
an
job.
Answer.
It doesn't
Listen,
matter
it's not
how
your
you
job.
Feel about
it's
it.
Not
it is not your job.
It's not your job.
All right. Either you start to converse with this man.
Well, he's the one that blimped the kid out with all the flapjack.
Excuse me?
I said you're the one that turned the child into this by feeding him all the food and then you send him to school. Where he roots around for an apple core.
All right, hang up on her.
Wait a minute, I got one more sound effect. I want to go...
All right, I think from what I just gathered from that call, it's not her job. 1-800-449-86. Will you turn that off, bud, once and for all? Just because we got a sound effects library don't mean you got to go hog wild.
Oh, did you say hog?
I didn't mean hog. Turn the hogs off, too. Phil Hendry Show. Go to kerrykasem.com, okay? It's spelled K-E-R-R-I. Now, Kerry was in here once because she digs the show. Now, she's on All Comedy Radio now. She's doing a show over there, and we hope she does well. And we're on the All Comedy affiliate in Portland, Johnson Radio. And anyway, that's what it's called. It's called Johnson Radio. And so the reason why I'm bringing up Kerry Kasem is that she came in here one day and she just to watch the show, and I said, can we get a picture with you for our website? She goes, I got to have my makeup on. I go, oh, come on. Are you kidding? Are you crazy? Even without makeup, you're a knockout. You're beautiful. No, I got to do. And then that was the last we saw of her. So, Kerry, wherever you are, and I suspect it's probably not far from here, okay, fine, put on your freaking makeup. Just come on up here so we can get a shot of you for our website, because we got one of you on the website, but it's one of your publicity shots, man. We want one with you and me, all right, so people will know it's me that you're standing with, because the only chick that we got halfway good looking on the website, other than my wife and the you know, the wall of female listeners, is Ann Coulter. So we need something. Anyway, go to this kerrykasem.com. She's like freaking beautiful, man. And I met her brother, Mike. Dude looks exactly like his old man.